We're doing Ein Yaakov. Gemara Shabbos, Perek Kol Kitvei. We're studying the Agaditas about honoring Shabbos. The Gemara tells us the following story. Rabbi Abba, Zavan Bitleisar Astiri. He would use 13 coins. Not such cheap coins. And he used to buy with that on a weekly basis. Bisra, he would buy meat. Mitleisar, tabache, from 13 different butchers. Umashlim lehu atzinora dedasha, he would run home, and at the doorpost he would hand the workers, whoever the chef of his family, to make the meat. And he'd tell him, here, quick, grab it, I want to go and buy another piece of meat. He says, I want to make sure I get the best meat in honor of Shabbos. So that's how Rabbi Abba would work on Friday to make sure he got the finest food in honor of Shabbos. Rabbi Avu, Haviyativ Atachtacha Dishena. He was sitting on a special chair of ivory. So he was pretty wealthy, Rabbi Avu. Umushif Nura, and he would sit on this ivory throne, and he'd have what do you call that thing that blows hot air to make the fire stronger for what's that thing called? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like an accordion that they what?
Like a pump, right?
Yeah, some kind of pump. So he wanted to honor Shabbos. He wanted to take part in what all his different chefs and maids and butlers were preparing. He was very wealthy. So he would have this thing that would blow the air off of his ivory throne. So he had a hand in honoring Shabbos. Rav Anan Lavish Gunda. He would wear a black garment. And he was showing that now I'm working, I'm wearing my jeans, my worker's clothing, so that now isn't the time I should wear my special royal rabbinic clothing. Now I have to work hard to help prepare for Shabbos. So he would wear workman's clothing so he could work. That's the equivalent of what we would call an apron. So in their days it was a gunda. Gunda was some kind of soiled black garment that they used to wear whenever they were working. Tetana de Rabbi Ishmael. We have the following quote from Rabbi Ishmael's academy. Begadim shebishel bim kederah l'rabonim zog bim kos l'rabo. You should wear different clothing when you serve food and when you bake the food. We learn this from a verse. And so Rabbi Ishmael taught his academy that the clothing you wear when you make the food, that clothing's going to get dirty. And we always assume it won't get dirty. This past Friday, I saw our 5-year-old, 6-year-old peeling cucumbers. And unfortunately, she was wearing her Shabbos clothes and hugging them against her chest as she was peeling those cucumbers. So her whole chest was green. Right? Her white Shabbos clothing were green. And when she saw that, she was devastated. So that's the rule. Don't wear Shabbos clothing when you're preparing food. Right? Rabbi Yishmael taught us that. And that's what Rabbi Avu did. Now, this seems like an obvious piece of advice. But you see people err in this all the time. When people have to change attire. So if you're on the way to the wedding, you have a good excuse. You're wearing your wedding clothing. What were you supposed to do? But if you're at home and you're still wearing your Shabbos clothing and it's Matzei Shabbos and you're too lazy to go and switch to your working clothing, then that's the mistake that Rabbi Yishmael came to preclude when he told us, change your clothing when you're doing dirty work. We always assume we're going to get away with it without getting dirty. And almost always we do end up getting dirty. So this is good advice. Put on clothing you could get dirty with. The Kohanim, right? This was for the Kohanim. And we learned the application today. Rav Safra, he would help prepare for Shabbos, that whenever they'd have an animal's head that they were eating for that Shabbos, machrich reisha, he himself used to roast the head of the animal. They used to eat animal heads back then. Rava, he would help Malach Shibuta. When they had the fish, the Shibuta fish, so Rava used to personally salt it in honor of Shabbos. Ravuna, Madlik Shargi. Ravuna would light the lamps in honor of Shabbos in his house. Rav Papa, Gadil Petilta. Rav Papa, he was the head of the academy, and he would spin the threads that they used as wicks so that they'd have Shabbos candles. Rav Chisna, Parim Silka. He used to slice the beet salad. Rav Yosef, Matzleche Tzive. Rav Yosef used to cut up the firewood. That's interesting because Rav Yosef was blind. So we see all over Shas that in spite of Rav Yosef's impediment, he overcame it. He was tremendously handy. So he used to prepare the firewood. Rabbi Zera Mitzatet Tzitute. Rabbi Zera, I guess he was a master at lighting fires, Boy Scout trainer, and he used to get the fire going in honor of cooking for Shabbos. He'd get the small twigs burning, the bigger wood burning. Mitzate tzitute. He'd get the fire going in the lighter twigs, so it would be easier to get the fire going. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, mekatef ve'ail, mekatef ve'nafik. He'd carry things in and out. He'd always be bringing in stuff and taking out stuff, so that you'd see he was busy preparing for Shabbos, moving the furniture around, bringing in whatever they needed for Shabbos. So this was how Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak gave the aura, the atmosphere in the house, that Shabbos, the important guest, is coming for Shabbos. And the Gemara is taking us through periods of history, the giants of the Talmudic history, how each one was busy in their own home to help prepare for Shabbos. In this neighborhood, there was a rabbi who was the head of the Badats, the Eda Haredis, the what's called the Haredi, the ultra-Orthodox rabbinic court. And when students would knock on his door, so on Friday afternoon, they wouldn't see their rabbi in his usual garb. They wouldn't see him in his hat. They wouldn't see him in his long black coat. They would see him in a long apron, wearing gloves. If you'd knock on his door Friday afternoon, you'd see the rabbi working, cleaning the house for Shabbos, helping his wife. So the Gemara is telling us that throughout the ages, this is what rabbis did. They were home to help in preparation for Shabbos. It's interesting that as much as we've advanced, we still need to help for Shabbos. And it doesn't matter if Shabbos comes in at 4:40 or 8. It doesn't matter. We always need those extra few minutes. You got another 3 hours in your afternoon. Still pressure. Amar, so when Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak was so busy preparing his house, he would say, Ilu miklali Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi, if my two teachers, Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi, were coming to visit my house, Milo mikatvina kamayu, wouldn't I be all busy getting the house all ready in their honor? So certainly that if Shabbos is coming, I should be busy in its honor. Others say Ravami Ravasi Mikatfi Vadim Katfi Vinafki. It was actually Ravami and Ravasi themselves who were so busy preparing their home in honor of Shabbos. Amri, and they said, Ilu Miklalan Rabbi Yochanan, if our teacher Rabbi Yochanan would show up, Milo Mikatfinan Kamei, wouldn't we be busy getting the house in order? So this is the message of this Gemara, but as a side point, I would add that this is also how we're supposed to prepare when important people come to our house. Your parents are coming for a visit, so you should fix those screens. They shouldn't see torn screens. If you have a car, take it for a car wash before you pick up your parents. You have a porch, clean up the porch, clean up the yard. Your parents come, you should be preparing. Honorable people are coming to your house. The idea that it says here is the same idea that we show, that teaches us how to show respect. And now we move on to a very famous story that's quoted here in the Gemara about a man named Yosef. The Gemara tells us, Yosef Mokir Shabbat Hava. There was a man named Yosef that he would honor Shabbos. That was his thing. Everyone knew that Yosef would always go and invest, buy the best foods for Shabbos, He was known for this. There was a pagan in his neighborhood. That he had a lot of assets. He owned properties. He owned wealth. A very wealthy man was his pagan neighbor. The stargazers said to this pagan, Kulu nichsei, all your assets, Yosef mokir shabei achil. Yosef, who cherishes the Shabbos, he will consume them. You should know you're going to lose all your assets to that Yosef. Azal zavninu lekulu nichsei. So he said, no way, I'm not going to sell him a thing. He's not going to get a dime from me. And he went and sold all his assets. Zavin behu maganita. And he bought a precious stone with all that money. He bought the most precious stone he could find, invested all his wealth in that stone. He said, he ain't getting it from me. And otva bisiane. He made himself a felt hat, and he made the hat beautiful, and he made a frame in the hat, and inside that frame he put in this very precious stone. So Behade de Kaaver Mavra, he was crossing a bridge. Afreche Zika, a wind blew the hat off his head. Shadye Bemaya, his hat flew into the water. Bale Kavra, and a big fish came and swallowed his hat with the precious stone. Okay, the fish swam away. Poor man, the pagan lost all his wealth now. Okay, short while later, fishermen caught that fish. Askua, they raised them out of the water. Aitua apanye de male shabata. They carried this heavy fish. It's got this gem inside. So they carried this heavy fish on a Friday. Amre, they said, manzavin ki hashta. They said, who is going to buy this fish now? It's late Friday afternoon. The markets are already closing. Who's going to buy you this fish off our hands? Amrilehu, so they told the fishermen, Zilu amtui legabi Yosef mokir shave de ragil de zavin. You know what? There's one guy, he buys the best fish. You got a special fish here, kosher fish. You know, there's one man who will buy it. That's Yosef who honors Shabbos. Go to him. Amtiu haniale. So they went to Yosef. They asked him, you want to buy it? We got a really special fish here. Big, fat zavne. So he bought the fish. They left. He brought it home. Quick, let's make this fish, special fish in honor of Shabbos. Kare, he cut it open. Ashkache be magnita. He found inside the fish this precious stone. Zavne betresar ilita de dinre de dava. He sold it for 13 sacks of gold. So he became tremendously wealthy from it. So an old man met him, and Tosfa says that whenever you see Hahu Saba in Shas, that old man, it means Elio came in disguise and said to him, Amar man de Yaziv Shabata, pare Shabata. He said, the man who was so careful, he always, even if he had to, he took loans to make sure to honor Shabbos, so Shabbos paid him back. So that's the story, the famous story of Yosef, Mokir Shabbat. Yosef who would honor Shabbos.
The last thing I didn't understand, the name. You ever heard this name?
Hahu Saba, that old man.
Hahu Saba?
Hahu Saba. In Aramaic, Hahu means that one, a specific one. So which specific one is it? Tosfos brings an opinion elsewhere. Tosfos brings this opinion that in Shas, Ahu Saba is a code for Elijah the prophet, Eliyahu HaNavi. Okay. Should we do one more story before we move on? Or we'll pause here? One more story. Okay. Rabbi asked Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi the following question. How do wealthy people in Israel merit to be wealthy? He said, because they tithe. They're careful to tithe. The Torah says, aser te'aser. Tithe you shall tithe. So we had a tradition to read that, aser te'asher. Aser, take your tithe, bishvil shetitasher, so you will ultimately become wealthy. Yes.
Then you mentioned all the names, they were also very poor rabbis, big rabbis. So in Israel, they were very poor, but also very rich. So now you are going to tell us why they are the rich. So what about your
What about
the very poor ones?
He's not saying that this formula is the only formula. Obviously, in heaven, there are many calculations as to whom they want to make rich and who not. He's telling him the baseline is, if you see someone wealthy, you should know this is the major cause for someone to be wealthy. Could be people will tithe their whole life and still not become wealthy. But this is the major cause. Shebebavel b'mayin zochin. Could be there's another cause why a person has to be poor. You know, Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, it was planned in heaven. He should be poor. The Gemara says, "Lo bizchuta talia milta, ela bemazla talia milta." That wealth is something that depends on the mazel. How it was defined in a person's birth, how much wealth he'd have. Shebe bavel b'mayin zochin. Wealthy people in Babylon, what do they merit? Amalei b'shishim chabdin ta Torah. He said, because they honor Torah. V'sheb shara aratzot b'mayin zochin. What about all other countries? Amalei b'shishim chabdin ta Shabbat. He said, they merit to be wealthy because they honor Shabbos. Tamar v'chia b'rabba. V'chia b'rabba tot b'machat nitrachti tse balabait b'ludkia. I once was a guest at a certain person's house in the city of Ludkia. They brought before him a gold table. It took 16 people to carry it. And there were 16 chains of silver attached to the table. And it had attached to the table all the different vessels that they'd use at a meal. On the table, there was every type of food and every type of sweet, uvsamim, and every type of spice. Ukshmanichim oto omrim, when they put down the table, this gold table with all this delicious food and all these wonderful dishes, they would put down the table in honor of this wealthy man and declare, Lashem haaretz umloa. All of earth and everything on earth is in honor of Hashem. Oh, wow, they're honoring the man? No, right away everyone makes a declaration. It's all in honor of Hashem. Ukshem Salkinoto. After they'd finished the meal, and they'd removed the table after eating, Omrim they'd say, Hashamayim Shamayim Lashem, heaven is God's. Na'aretz natan livnei adam, and whatever we have on earth, it's because God has granted it to us. So I asked him, I said, son, why did you merit such wealth? He said, I was a butcher. And whenever I'd come across a good-looking animal, I would say, this animal should be in honor of Shabbos. I said to him, praised are you that you merited. And praised is the omnipresent who has given you such merit, such reward. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya, the famous Rabbi Yoshua, the Rabbi of Rabbi Akiva, was also a friend of the Caesar. The Caesar would take his counsel. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania, we learned the story about him, his bad looks, his brilliance. His brilliance was tapped by the Caesar, his daughter. The early Christians would try to debate him and lose. So the Caesar asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania, "Mipnei ma tafshit she'shabbat recho nodef? How come the foods you prepare for Shabbos have such a smell? How come we prepare foods and we never get that smell, the Shabbos smell that you get?" Amalei tavlin echad yesh lanu. He said, "We have the spice, v'shabbat shmo. The name of that spice is Shabbos. Shanu matanin letocho v'recho nodef. We put that spice in our food, and then it has the smell." So the Caesar said, "Rabbi, we want to buy some of that spice. I'm the Caesar. Let me buy some." Amale kolam shamer tashabat moilo, mishenom shamer tashabat eno moilo. He said to him, "It doesn't work that way. If you watch over Shabbos, then the spice works for you. And if you don't watch over Shabbos, it doesn't work for you." And there's a very deep message here. Shabbos is a spice. Sometimes when people are new to Judaism, they get excited over Shabbos, and then afterwards they feel bound by the Shabbos. People say, "Let me have the freedom to enjoy Shabbos my way." And that's not true. The Shabbos that Hashem gave us is perfect. We have to get used to it. We have to learn how to beautify it. We have to invest in advance to make the Shabbos a beautiful experience. But Shabbos is a spice, and it's only if you watch it that you have that spice. When people think they can drive on Shabbos, they can turn on the television on Shabbos, and they think they're going to have that day of Shabbos, they're not getting that spice. They're not. And that's what he said to him. It's not going to work. You want the spice, you have to watch the Shabbos.